This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a day when America is still reeling from a hostage taking over the weekend, a hostage taking that began on Saturday morning, on Shabbat morning, where a small congregation, a Reform congregation, Reform is the most liberal and denomination in Judaism, and there was an act of kindness that was performed by the rabbi that turned out horribly. It turned out involving the death of a would-be hostage taker in a situation that had the entire country concerned. At one point, there was actually live streaming for the first 4 hours of an 11-hour ordeal. Can you imagine being held with a threat of death by an armed gunman, Pakistani of, in terms of ethnic origins, from Britain, but it was a very, very difficult situation that everyone seems to have handled decently and remarkably. This is the first TV interview that was given since the crisis by Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker. He said that he and the two other hostages who were remaining, there were originally a total of four hostages. One, an older man, was let out earlier and he could be seen running out of the synagogue. They were actually, the way the account goes, the Dallas News says that the rabbi held captive for more than 11 hours said today that he and two others who were left with the gunman escaped after he threw a chair at the hostage taker. Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker said on CBS Morning that he let the hostage taker inside the synagogue Saturday because the man appeared to need shelter. He had just come from a homeless shelter. The gunman had knocked on a glass door, and Citron Walker made a poor decision and took him in and made the 44-year-old British national a cup of tea. And that's what the rabbi said. When I took him in, I stayed with him, he said. Making tea was an opportunity to talk with him. In that moment, I didn't hear anything suspicious. It was only during prayer, while we're praying and my back was turned because we face toward Jerusalem while we pray, right before he revealed himself, I heard a click. It could have been anything, but it turned out to be a gun. This is what Rabbi Citron Walker said about his experience. Clip four.
He wasn't getting what he wanted. He was getting... It didn't look good. It didn't sound good. We were terrified. And when I saw an opportunity where he wasn't in a good position, I asked, made sure that the two gentlemen who were still with me, that they were ready to go. The exit wasn't too far away. I told them to go. I threw a chair at the gunman, and I headed for the door. And all three of us were able to get out without even a shot being fired.
And it was after they got out, people saw the gunman had stepped outside the synagogue, upholding his gun. Then there was an exchange of gunfire, and the gunman, whose name was Akram, is no longer alive. Malik Faisal Akram, a British citizen. And they point out the episode began around 10:41 when the police received a 911 call that a gunman had entered the synagogue and taken several hostages. Chief Michael C. Miller of the Colleyville Police Department said at a news conference on Saturday. One of the things here, of course, as somebody who attends services virtually every week, the one thing that you immediately ask about is, what about the security guard at this congregation? And it took me actually a while to read an explanation of that, and apparently this is a smaller congregation, and they only have security guards for special events. They just don't have that much attendance. But still, especially during a time of when we're all trying to deal with the Omicron variant and the tremendously real threat of getting infected, which can, even though it is, thank God, not fatal for most people who get infected, it can still be painful and difficult, and I know of people for whom it has been. And this audio of the synagogue hostage taker, which was heard in a live stream of the service, and he was actually saying one of the most frightening things you can hear from somebody in that situation, declaring that he was going to die. This is clip 9.
I'm going to die.
He says, I'm going to die, don't cry for me. Apparently, there are two young men who have been arrested in Britain, who are apparently his sons. He's 44 years old. They're teenagers. It is unknown they were arrested in Manchester, Britain. They don't know yet what, if any, finally, connection they have with Malik Faisal Akram. The details about what happened inside the synagogue during the 11 hours after suspected hostage taker Malik Faisal Akram entered the building, and he demanded the release of someone he described as his sister. It's not his real sister. It was his sister in faith, obviously a very devout Muslim. Afia Siddiqui is a Pakistani woman who is now serving an 86-year sentence for shooting at two U.S. military officers during an interrogation. And, by the way, that is also part of the mystery as to why Texas is not the state with the greatest Jewish population. There's a large Jewish population in Dallas-Fort Worth and in Houston, actually throughout Texas. But it is not a real center of a Jewish life. If you want to do that, you hit New York or Los Angeles or Miami, Philadelphia. The reason that apparently Akram attacked the synagogue in Texas is because Siddiqui, which means the righteous, Afiat Siddiqui, the Pakistani woman who's serving that 86-year sentence, she's in a military prison not too far away. It's also in Texas. And by the way, the woman for whom he was demanding her release, she is a mother of three. She is a longtime Al-Qaeda operative, also sympathetic apparently to ISIS, though I know they're not the same. But her lawyer said that Ms. Siddiqui, the prisoner, said she unequivocally condemns all forms of violence, other than the violence she used against American servicemen. But what's also interesting about this has been the larger reaction from, well, not just the president, we'll hear that, but from leaders of the Muslim community, which has been encouraging. We'll be right back on the Medved Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The Michael Medved Show. I think anybody who goes to church services, certainly anybody who goes to synagogue services, is brought up short a little bit by what happened over the weekend. And again, I mentioned that the reaction of the local Islamic community and even the national Islamic community here in this country, the Council for American Islamic Relations, which speaks for a lot of Muslims in this country, condemned the attack, expressed solidarity with the Jewish community, issued early and almost immediately unequivocal condemnations about people who attack synagogues and about expressions of anti-Semitism. And it turns out that this rabbi, Citron Walker, who, young man, and again, a reform rabbi, probably progressive in outlook, but whatever, he had been very involved in a lot of interfaith work with local Muslims in the Dallas area. And the people spoke very highly of him about how he had built bridges. He'd gone, he had spoken in most of the mosques that were active there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and built bridges, and which is, it seems to me, an honorable thing to do, and something that certainly paid off with the expressions of very strong solidarity and offers of help. Again, no one was harmed except for the killer himself, the gunman himself. They are now saying they're trying to figure out where he got the gun. And I know it sounds almost... Okay, he came to Dallas and went apparently almost immediately to a homeless shelter near the synagogue. And the assumption is that he got the gun at the homeless shelter. And this, the same weekend that the awful story of what appears to be another explosion of anti-Asian violence in New York City, where it's a tremendous problem. And there's so many victims, a 40-year-old woman, Asian woman, pushed in front of a subway. And she's standing at a platform. And the guy who pushed her lived at a homeless shelter, had a basically very intense psychiatric and criminal record. And again, it is not a good thing to have people supported by the public to live in such a shelter and turned loose to murder people. And yes, it's murder when you take a 40-year-old woman, push her in front of a subway car. It's also awful. President Biden spoke to the media about what happened in Dallas. Here is what he had to say as this process was still going on. Listen, this is clip A, 1A.
I spoke this morning with the Attorney General and to get a rundown on, he said there was overwhelming cooperation with the local authorities and the FBI, and they did one hell of a job. This was an act of terror. This was an act of terror, and it not only was related to someone who had been arrested, I might add, 15 years ago and been in jail for 10 years. The idea is it was something new. They did just a great job. I also told him that I wanted to make sure we got the word out to synagogues and places of worship that we're not going to tolerate this, that we have this capacity to deal with assault on particularly the anti-Semitism that has grown up. And so, and I'll be talking with, put a call into the rabbi. We miss one another on the way up here. And, but they should rest assured that we are focused. We are focused. The Attorney General is focused on making sure that we deal with these kinds of acts.
Look, I think that's appropriate. He then went on to speculate or not to speculate particularly about what the specific focus on this temple, Reform Temple, was. Here is what President Biden continued to say. This is clip 1B.
Mr. President, do you know more about the motivation of the person?
No, I don't. There's speculation, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to have a press conference on Wednesday, and I'll be happy to go into detail what I know in detail at that time.
Do you know why he targeted that specific synagogue?
Well, no, I don't. We don't have. I don't think there is sufficient information to know about why he targeted that synagogue, why he insisted on the release of someone who's been in prison. prison for over 10 years, why he was engaged, why he was using anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli comments. We just don't have enough facts.
Apparently, one of the things that he did say, and this came out after the president spoke, that he said he had attacked a Jewish place of worship because he said, in America, only Jewish lives matter. No one else's lives matter. Only Jewish lives. And which, of course, is a classic anti-Semitic trope. The FBI spokesperson in Dallas had this to say about the case. This is clip two.
We do believe from our engagement with this subject that he was singularly focused on one issue, and it was not specifically related to the Jewish community, but we're continuing to work to find motive, and we will continue on that path. In terms of the resolution of the incident, the hostage taker is deceased.
Okay, and how did he get deceased? They didn't say for a while. One hostage was released shortly after 5 p.m., the hostages were initially taken about 10:40 in the middle of the service. So one hostage was released. Authorities were seen bringing a man wearing a black yarmulke out of the building. Don't know why he was released. Akram was killed late Saturday after the other hostages escaped unarmed. Remember, the rabbi had thrown a chair, and they were near the door, and they ran out the door. Authorities then swarmed the synagogue considerably later. The one hostage released five. They swarmed the synagogue. It was close to 11. The rabbi said that toward the last hour of the standoff, the hostage taker wasn't getting what he wanted. And when Rabbi Sitrin Walker saw an opportunity, he instructed the other two men held hostage to bolt for an exit while he threw a chair at the gunman. Video showed from a local TV station showed people running out a door of the synagogue, and then a man holding a gun opened the same door seconds later before he turned around and closed it. Moments later, several rounds of gunfire could be heard, followed by the sound of an explosion. We'll find out more about all of that. But then, is anti-Semitism have something to do with this? Undoubtedly. Did racism have something to do with that tragic fire in the Bronx? That at least a charge. We'll get to that coming up on the MedVet Show.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Thousands are stranded at the airport on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and many more are in the dark as winter weather hits the eastern United States. FlightAware saying more than 2,600 flights within, into, or out of the United States have been delayed or canceled. Thousands are without power in states from Maine all the way to Georgia. Events being held across America today honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Carol Swain says MLK changed lives for so many Americans.
If you look at this moment we're in today with race relations, if people would go back, listen to, read the I Have a Dream speech, you can see that Dr. King preached a message that is so applicable today, and he would be appalled by the racism that's coming from the political left.
USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Michael Medved show, and regarding this case in Dallas, and I was about to say awful case, it's not awful, it's actually very encouraging, because it was so handled so very well by police officers, by the FBI, by the rabbi in charge of that congregation, who obviously had his wits about him, and got the other three people who were taken hostage along with him, got them out okay. But concerning that, I know that a lot of people ask me when they know, and people who know me at all know, I'm a regular synagogue goer. I actually enjoy it. I find it satisfying. I like connecting with people. I like connecting with members of my family who are no longer on the alive, and the past and my people's tradition and all of that. But we have a security guard. And even when we have very reduced attendance because of COVID, we have our security guard, whose name is Rahim. And he's a Marine Corps veteran, and he is well prepared and protected with defensive vest and well armed. And again, did I say it before? I'll say it again. Marine Corps veteran and black guy, by the way, and wonderful guy. And I believe his name is, it's a Islamic name, but we've never actually spoken about religion when you're coming in to shul, to a Jewish service. And is this a sort of a shame that we've come since the Tree of Life congregation, where 11 people were shot down in cold blood, to a situation where most Jewish institutions feel they have to take special protection? It is a shame. and America's better than that, but this appears to me to be an area where we are united and the country can come together, which is why I'm so encouraged and grateful, frankly, for good words from people in the Islamic community, both locally in Texas and across the country. Okay, speaking of which, another story, very different story, about a great tragedy, which is that awful Bronx fire. And most of the people who died in the fire, virtually all of them, were immigrants from Gambia. They were immigrants from Africa. And at the funeral, NPR ran a story about the mourners who were gathering, where a local sheikh from one of the mosques that the victims attended gave a speech and some words about structural racism being responsible for these terrible deaths in the Bronx. Listen, this is 3A.
There were hundreds of people there, the kind of community members you would expect at a tragedy of this size. People were there to pay their respects. But there was another really common theme. Viola Plummer is with a local Black human rights organization. We were in the same tent. And she said structural racism was a problem here and that the problem is not new.
Today, we are talking about environmental racism. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about the health care delivery system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Plummer said she's seen the same problems in Haiti after earthquakes, Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, and just this past fall in New York, 15 people died from flooding.
And more, someone actually wanted to relate what happened with a fire that was started by a space heater, relating that to the murder of Emmett Till by white supremacists, and the people identified years later as being responsible for the murder were partially some of them, most of them, Ku Klux Klan members. And what does this have to do with the murder of Emmett Till, who I believe was 14? He was alleged to have been whistled. And it's a stupid claim. He almost certainly did not. Having allegedly whistled at a white woman, he was taken later and beaten up, beaten to death as a teenager. So this is the comparison with the Bronx fire. That's a clip 3B.
Tell me a bit more, if you would, about the people who spoke at the service, like the officials, for example. Did they strike a similar tone?
They did. Sheikh Musa Drame, he's from Gambia and a community organizer, and he spoke today and repeatedly used the word dramatize. He made a point of saying that he wanted the media and politicians to see all of the caskets because we don't want this to happen again. And he said people shouldn't have to live in dilapidated apartments or rely on space heaters, and that's why the decision was made to open this funeral to the public. And he drew a particular comparison between the death of Emmett Till and today's events.
On September 3rd, 1955, an educator and activist, a lady conducted a funeral, and Sheikh Paul, the church, I want the casket of my son to remain open. I want the world to know the condition in which we live that caused my son to be brutally beaten, brutally killed.
New York's lieutenant governor, who was there, said the state is providing $2 million in a victim's compensation fund.
Okay, is it right to talk about new arrivals in America who are struggling, like most new arrivals in America do, and to compare that to Emmett Till being brutally beaten, and that's why they have to lie in an open casket to, look, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. But those tragedies don't always follow racial guidelines. And even in Hurricane Katrina, it's true that because of the location, what was the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, there were special casualties and special suffering for people of color. But identifying natural disasters, especially with the terrible weather we have going on right now, and people's lives being seriously disrupted, I think it's extremely misleading, especially on this Martin Luther King Day, to say that these disasters, these setbacks, this suffering, which is very real, there's real suffering going on right now, that it follows a racial pattern. When we come back, there's also another controversy about censorship. This one involving a school and a book that many Americans love. Many Americans, in fact, at one point it was part of a national project where everybody through libraries, everybody in the whole country was supposed to be reading To Kill a Mockingbird. Harper Lee's great book, one of the first novels some people can really remember cherishing. And wouldn't you think that that would be a book that encourages or discourages racism, that moves us toward more common understanding? Well, in a Washington small town, it's actually a suburb of Seattle. You could say it's a suburb of Everett. In Mukilteo, Washington, there's racial objections to having students read To Kill a Mockingbird. What's the latest on that subject? We'll get to that and to more on The MedVet Show. 1-800-955-1776.
Bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product
product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
On the Michael Medved show, popularity and the actual reverence toward the great book To Kill a Mockingbird, which was written by Harper Lee, who died fairly recently. Before she died, they had been dealing with a prior book that she wrote that actually never got published, but was recently. It became, of course, a bestseller. But that book was more complicated because it included a far less glowing portrait of Atticus Finch, the main character, the one played by Gregory Peck in the very fine movie of To Kill a Mockingbird. And apparently in that other book that was based on earlier material that Harper Lee had written, there were some racist sentiments expressed by Atticus Finch, by this character, not by the author. But in any event, that's not what we're talking about. That was a book called Go Set a Watchman. It was only published in July 2015 as a sequel to Kill a Mockingbird, but it was later confirmed to be her first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird. In any event, the story from Mukilteo, Washington. And Mukilteo, for those of you who don't know, is a beautiful town. And a very nice place to live, visit. It's a great town. But the Mukilteo School Board will consider, coming up on the 24th of January, removing the 1960 literary classic To Kill a Mockingbird from the required reading list for high school freshmen. This is the first time in at least 20 years that a request has been made to remove a novel from the curriculum, said the district superintendent, Allison Brynelson, in a statement. We recognize the strong feelings and varying perspectives around this topic. It stems from a citizen request made to the Kamiak High School principal that was evaluated by the district's Instructional Materials Committee. The request's reasons included, quote, this book marginalizes and gives little voice or agency to characters of color, celebrates white saviorhood, and tells the story through white perspective only, uses the N-word almost 50 times, and never addresses it as derogatory, does not support goals of equity and inclusion. The Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Harper Lee tells a story of a white lawyer defending a black man who was wrongly accused of rape in Alabama in the 1930s. And it uses dialogue of the time. The theme is prejudice and the loss of innocence. Though there is no question that the novel is opposed to prejudice, and Atticus Finch in that book is heroic. He's one of the most beloved characters in recent literature. To Kill a Mockingbird has been controversial for 60 years, but remains required reading in many schools nationwide, though several districts have banned it, along with The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, which is an even greater novel. And arguably, when people talk about the greatest American novels, and they have actually done surveys on this, it's Great Gatsby and Huckleberry Finn. And I know, sometimes throw in Moby Dick. Moby Dick was a huge failure when Melville originally brought it out. But they've also banned Of Mice and Men, John Steinbeck, and they've banned J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye. I suppose Of Mice and Men is banned because of its treatment of people with disabilities, though the treatment of Lenny is sympathetic. It is a stereotyped, you could say, person with disabilities. In any event, should To Kill a Mockingbird be removed from the ninth grade required reading list, the Mukilteo Instruction Committee is recommending the novel be cut from the required curriculum, but that it should remain on the approved novel list that teachers can use. This request for removal of a novel and the feedback we've received have given us the opportunity to reflect on our curriculum procedures, which will aid us in future curriculum adoptions, said Brian Nelson. So we shall see what happens. My personal hope is that they keep To Kill a Mockingbird, which, again, if kids are going to learn anything, and ninth grade, you're not quite a baby anymore, you're certainly coming into adulthood, learning something about racism and what racism really was like. And by the way, I haven't heard anyone suggest that there are aspects of racism that are either exaggerated or unrealistic for Monroeville, Alabama, in the 1930s. And the book, of course, written in the 1950s. And I think that actually is, particularly on Martin Luther King holiday, that is an important perspective to keep in mind. It's also part of the perspective that you need to keep in mind if you're going to try to unite the country. You can't simply pretend that racism doesn't exist. And Joe Biden, this is just days now after he gave his speech about voting rights in Georgia, he now insists that he ran for president to unite the country. It would be nice to believe that. Here is what he had to say. It's clip 19.
The real measure of success is not, did we score some partisan points? It's, did we fix the problem? Did we fix the problem? This is all about fixing the problem. I ran for president to unite the country. This bipartisan infrastructure law I signed a few months ago unites us around things we all depend on.
Okay, but if his job was to unite the country, how does it unite the country to repeatedly say, are you on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Are you on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Are you on the side of, who brought up another hero, or Jefferson Davis? If you are going to say everything is, you'll pardon the expression, so binary, you're either this or that, you're either with me or you're against goodness. It's not even just you're either with me or you're with the other side. It's associating the other side, the people who might dare to disagree with you on any of these issues regarding race. You're either on one side or the other. And one thing about the history of America and race is it just isn't so simple. By the way, the Dispatch has a brief little note. It points out that the Bloody Sunday March and King's great speech played a key role in building momentum for the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which Lyndon Johnson signed into law that August. By 1967, 2 years later, nearly 60% of eligible black voters in Mississippi were registered to vote. It had been half that before the voting rights. But in November 2020, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, that percentage had risen to 83% of eligible black voters had registered to vote. Because so many people went down to Mississippi and to other places to register people to vote. That was compared, by the way, 83% blacks registered to vote, 79% of eligible white voters had bothered to vote. Those are both admirable figures, but it's particularly admirable to see how a piece of legislation and of social agitation, and it was that, led by Dr. King, how it can change reality when all of a sudden you go from 60% registered to 83%. That's the kind of progress that actually can make a difference in behalf of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.